Ja, kaj pa je to?
Ja, kultivator.
Gre za neko vrsto apatije.
To lahko reče samo kreten, noben drug.
Socialni invalid in ga je nemogoče urejati.
Drugi kandidat.
Pa pije, kadi, masturbira, vse kako ni človeka počne. Nihče tega ne ve.
Vsak petek skultiviramo dogodek tedna.
Lahko po kriterijih Radio Študent, težko pa po evropskih kriterijih.
Ampak na drug način, kot vi to mislite.
Kultivator vedno užge.
Da pač nekdo sploh omenja probleme, ki so, in da pravzaprav sploh nekdo sproži dogajanje v družbi.
To drži. Drži.
Pozdravljeni še v današnjem norem kultivatorju, kjer se bomo mal oddalili od ITRA Radio Študent in se posvetili dogajanju v Maliju. Včeraj je vojaška hunta v državi odstavila predsednika civilne vlade Čogela Kakala Mejgo in pa njegovo vlado zaradi kritiziranja počasne tranzicije nazaj na civilno vlast. Na njegovo mesto je vodja hunte Asimi Gojta imenoval zdaj vojaškega generala Abdulaja Mejgo, ki se mi grede piše enako kot ta bivši predsednik civilne vlade. O političnem dogajanju v državi se bova pa pogovorila s Timom iz aktualno politične redakcije. Tim, pozdravljen.
Pozdrav. No, pa začnimo mogoče najprej z državnim udarom, ki je hunto pripeljal na oblast. To je bil namreč drugi državni udar v 12 mesecih, ta se je zgodil leta 2021, prvi pa leta 2020 in sicer avgusta. In prvi državni udar oziroma puč so izvedli oziroma del malijskih oboroženih sil, predtem pa so bili že protesti proti predsedniku, ki je bil v puču tudi odstavljen, Ibrahimu Boubacarju Keitaju. In njegov predsednik Boubou Cisse je bil prav tako odstavljen v puču. Naslednje leto, torej puč, ki je pripeljal trenutno hunto na oblast, se je zgodil nov državni udar, in sicer začasni predsednik Banda in njegov premier sta bila oba odstavljena, Asimi Gojta, ki je trenutni vodja hunte, pa je bil potrjen strani državnega ustavnega sodišča kot novi začasni tranzicijski predsednik. Na mesto začasnega premijeja je Gojta na to imenoval Mejgo in ta Mejga je v bistvu predstavnik civilne oblasti, on ni del vojske. Zato je mogoče se nekaterim poraja vprašanje, zakaj bi se sploh priključil državnemu udaru, ki ga je izvedel del vojske, in to bo razložil dopisnik Deutsche Welle za Zahodno Afriko Olisa Chukwuma.
Political relevance. At that point, it was clear that the country needed change, and him being always on the opposition, even when the civilian government was in place, there was a coup, and there was another coup, which then brought in the current administration. So for political relevance, he aligned himself with the current leaders looking for change, and being a prime minister, he was supposed to be part of that movement that will see to a transition to civilian rule, perhaps in hopes that he will be part of that process for the transition and perhaps maybe vie for elections to become civilian president. But that hasn't happened 3 years down the line.
Malijska oblast se deli na tri politična telesa, in sicer na predsedstvo, na nacionalni tranzicijski svet, ki deluje kot de facto zakonodajno telo, na premijeja in njegovo vlado. Doslej sta pod poveljem hunte delovala predvsem predsedstvo in tranzicijski svet, ampak tudi vlada je v bistvu bila pod nadzorom hunte. To je bil, kot omenjeno, predsednik vlade je bil imenovan strani hunte. In sedaj z novim imenovanjem novega predsednika vlade bo ta položaj še bolj pod nadzorom torej vojaške hunte. Kako pa je bila oblast v državi razdeljena po puču leta 2021, pojasni sogovornik.
So you had the prime minister, who was a civilian prime minister. Well, the structure was on paper supposed to be the prime minister and his parliament, which has now been dismissed following the removal of Chogel Mayaga, working alongside the ruling military regime. But the feelings we get from the country is that it's the regime that makes the decisions. Basically, it's the military who are in charge of everything. So decision making will not clearly fall on the parliament. And that has really gone on too long, and it's provoked this reaction and condemnation by the now removed prime minister. So the military are the ones in charge. It's the military who will actually decide. We've seen in the past protests about civilian transition quelled or squashed, you know, grumblings or any disagreements with the junta always being put down, political parties suspended. So the process for democracy, or the engines that will drive a democracy or would lead to an eventual democratic rule, have not been allowed to thrive under the military.
Kako pa si je hunta zamislila to vrnitev oblasti nazaj v civilne roke?
Ja, torej najprej gremo razdeliti, da sta bili dve oblasti. Prva po prvem puču, ki si je nekako zamislila, da se bo ta tranzicija zgodila v naslednjih dveh letih. In potem je nacionalni odbor za rešitev ljudstva podpisal oziroma obljubil, da se bodo izpeljale volitve v naslednjih 18 mesecih. Kot razlog za drugi puč, med drugim, je bil tudi, da je vojaška hunta vodilne v prvem puču obtožila sabotaže te tranzicije. In potem je novi predsednik, začasni predsednik Gojta, podaljšal z dekretom to obdobje tranzicije za 2 leti. Volitve so bile predstavljene zaradi tehničnih razlogov. Nekako naj bi se zadnje volitve odvile marca 2024, ampak tudi do teh volitev ni prišlo. V luči tega je Mejga kritiziral hunto in vodstvo, češ, do te tranzicije ne prihaja, oziroma vrnitev oblasti v civilne roke, to se ni zgodilo. In zato je tudi javno nastopil proti hunti in se izpostavil. In zdaj razloge, zakaj je to storil in zakaj je kritiziral hunto, pa predstavi Chukwuma.
The removal of the prime minister, first of all, if you look at the trends that's been going on in West Africa lately, places like Niger and Burkina Faso, you'd think that the former previous prime minister, Choguel Mayaga, was appointed in 2021, basically almost dug his own grave when he came out last Saturday, to criticize the regime about the lack of clarity when it comes to the timeline to transition to civilian rule. Mayaga, don't forget, was always part of the opposition, especially in the previous administrations before the coup, but he was able to align himself with the current regime, which took over in 2021 after we had those double coups in Mali. So he was part of, he joined them and basically spoke highly of them, and that's why they made him the prime minister. But you look at it, after more than 2 years, the transition hasn't happened. There have been comments about him falling out with the Mali military junta leader himself, and he's been frozen out of decision making, basically, for Mali. It's Hashimi Goïta, the colonel, who's basically running things in the country. So he came out to criticize the military regime and the rulers, and you knew that there was going to be a backlash from it. Obviously, he wasn't really going to be arrested. So the first thing that was going to happen, which has happened, was that he was dismissed and sacked as the prime minister. So which we also heard comments about some of the military personnel denouncing him and calling him a traitor. So we do not know if something, you know, might still happen to Choguel Mayaga, but he's been dismissed, and the military personnel has been, you know, taking the job. So it's only pointing towards an extension of the military regime in Mali. So the transition period has clearly elapsed. And from an analytic point of view, there is no end in sight to how long the military regime will last in Mali. It looks like it's going to be Assimi Goïta all the way, or perhaps another coup, military coup, to oust the current regime. But it's not looking good in terms of civilian transition. That's the big thing about this latest move from the military regime.
bi lahko kritike Mejge razumeli kot znake šibkosti hunte?
Torej, po mnenju alžirskega raziskovalnega novinarja, ki se med drugim ukvarja z varnostnimi in vojaškimi temami, Akrama Karifa, ne bi mogel tega razumeti kot znak šibkosti, saj hunta še vedno deluje kot kohezivna enota.
I think that the junta itself is still cohesive enough, and they work well, they get along together, just because they all know that if they are weakened by any mean, they will lose the power. I think that there's still a cohesion within the military establishment. The idea now is to go now that Mali is totally isolated from the international community, apart from the traditional allies from the like Russia, maybe in a lesser extent China. Now they want to have a fully military regime.
Zdaj, verjetno volitev je precej majhna glede na stalno predstavljanje njih, in če bo sploh prišlo do volitev, komentira Karif.
No, I think that the likelihood is very low. Now the common tactic of the three countries of the Sahel Alliance are to avoid talking about elections and reforms and rather go for a union between the three countries and presenting that to their population as the ultimate political goal. So they are, so far they are trying to win some time in order to achieve this so-called alliance. So I personally do not expect that elections will happen in neither in Mali nor in Niger, in Burkina Faso, the coming months, and probably not the coming 2 years, unless another coup happens, and in this case there will be maybe a possibility.
Razumem, ok. Spravo, on je podal kritiko in potem so ga odstavili. Ampak kako je pa zdaj s civilno opozicijo, oziroma sploh obstaja kakšna politična opozicija trenutno v državi?
Ja, hunta pod vodstvom Gojtaja je že aprila izdala dekret, s katerim je suspendirala delovanje političnih strank zaradi, kot so to oni imenovali, potrebe po ohranjanju javnega reda. In dekret je bil nekak tudi odgovor na skupno izjavo 80 strank in skupin civilne družbe, v kateri so zahtevali konec vojaške oblasti in izvedbo predsedniških volitev. Hunta je že marca, torej en mesec prej, pa zaradi groženj kršitve javnega reda ukinila tudi opozicijsko koalicijo. Podrobno je pa dogajanje v državi pojasni Karif.
There's a huge repression in Mali today. There's very almost no place for the opposition to express itself, apart from this reconciliation scheme that has been implemented in the northern areas of Mali. There is almost no margin for political gatherings or open debates in the society. So the political game is totally closed, and there are very, very scarce things to do for the opposition. Unless we count on the opposition that is outside Mali, they try to do things, but here again, it's not enough, and they don't have any relays within the Malian population, and they will not be able to act on that. What is expected now from the hardcore opposition leaders is either a popular revolution due to the worsening of the economical situation, or another coup with a more flexible and more
maybe democracy-oriented junta.
Zdaj v Maliju sicer ni prisotna le domača vojska oziroma oborožene milice, ampak tudi vojske drugih držav.
Ja, zagotovo. In prvo se lahko mogoče osredotočiva na Malijevo nekdanjo kolonizatorko Francijo. Torej, francoski vojaki so bili v Maliju prisotni od leta 2014. Tja so prišli v okviru operacije Serval, ki so jo spodbudili spopadi med prebivalci severnega in južnega Malija. Torej, islamistični uporniki so od juga, ki so ga obvladovali, prodrli do nekje sredine države. V okviru te operacije je Francija svoje vojake nastanila še v Čadu in Nigru, posredovala pa je tudi v Burkini Faso in Mauretaniji. Februarja 2022 je francoski predsednik Emmanuel Macron potem tudi napovedal umik francoskih vojakov iz Malija, zadnji vojaki pa so odšli avgusta. Nekoliko drugačno vlogo so v Maliju imeli Američani. ZDA so namreč neko povezavo z Malijem imele zlasti preko vojaške baze v Nigru, da malenkost obnovimo zgodbo, torej Američani so imeli v Nigru vojaško letalsko bazo v Agadezu. Zgradili so jo med letoma 2016 in 2019 za več kot 100 milijonov evrov. Gre pravzaprav za dronsko vojaško bazo, ki je pomembna za celo regijo, ne le specifično za to državo. S tem so nekako imeli nadzor tudi posredno nad Malijem. Sicer so se ameriški vojaki iz Nigra dokončno umaknili julija letos, so pa še vedno prisotni v nekaterih drugih bližnjih državah, kot je recimo Libija.
In pol je še Rusija.
Ja, in nazadnje je še Rusija. Ja, tukaj je zgodba spet je nekako povezana z Ukrajino. Torej, recimo avgusta je Mali prekinil diplomatske odnose z Ukrajino, saj je, kot so to zatrdili, ukrajinska varnostna služba tuareškim islamskim upornikom posredovala informacije o borcih ruskega Wagnerja. Zaradi tega je bila operacija upornikov tudi uspešna. Wagner se namreč bojuje na strani uradne hunte, Rusija tako v državi nastopa bolj preko Wagnerja, torej bolj posredno. Sicer pa je Rusija v sahelski regiji aktivna tudi neodvisno od Wagnerja, recimo prav v Nigru, sploh povezano s odhodom Američanov. Več o odnosih med velesilami in Malijem pa pojasni Karif.
With France and in a lesser extent with the US, there's a complete breakup between the ruling power in Mali and these countries. With Russia, the situation is a little bit more complicated. I think that Russians are more and more impatient with the results of this rapprochement with Malian authorities, knowing that the Russian companies are still not exploiting the Malian gold or Malian oil and gas, and that Russia is paying a heavy price for Malian security by sending mercenaries and by participating in the what they call the counter-terrorism effort. I think that Russia is growing its impatience, and they are maybe also expecting a lot from this Sahelian alliance, but more pragmatically, I think that Russia is just occupying the field in order to avoid for France to come back in the Sahelian region.
Septembra 2023 so Mali, Niger in Burkina Faso ustanovile tudi zavezništvo sahelskih držav, ki je popolnoma nepovezano z zahodnimi državami oziroma kolonizatorkami bivšimi. Ustanovni pakt predvideva, da v primeru napada na eno članico, to pomeni napad na vse, preostali dve državi pa morata vojaško posredovati.
So in the last 18 months, Mali, just like the likes of Burkina Faso and Niger, they've cut ties to Western powers and Western partnerships, particularly France. There's a lot of huge anti-French rhetorics in these countries. And they've seen Russia as potential partners, not just for defense and training, but also for energy and trade and business. Don't forget, these three countries, Mali, Burkina Faso, Niger, have also strengthened their own ties within themselves to call themselves the Alliance of Sahel States. They, in fact, this week they held a kind of a culture conference between these three countries in the capital of Niger, in Niamey, and they want to break it. They've ostensibly broken away from ECOWAS, which is the Economic Community of West African States, and they are forging a new regional bloc on their own, free of Western powers, free of French former colonial fingerprints, and there's only one place for them to look for trade, the likes of Russia and possibly China.
Če se zdaj vrneva, kdo je potem sploh Abdoulaye Meiga, ki je postal nov predsednik vlade?
Chukwuma pojasni, da je novi premier Meiga v primerjavi s težje nekdanjim predsednikom vlade vojaški general, ki je veliko bliže trenutnemu režimu kot nekdani predsednik vlade, ki je predstavnik bolj civilne oblasti, če lahko temu tako rečemo.
He's the general, Abdoulaye Meiga, so he's been called the new transitional prime minister, and his government was presented almost immediately, and it's major changes. He'll have the likes of other generals and other people from the defense lines who are also military associated to have places like foreign affairs minister and minister of economy. And but they have called it a transitional prime minister. So the military is still mentioning transition, but how far that will go is still up to speculation, because a lot of Malians right now will be reflecting on the opinions of what the military have done. If they've taken off, if they've removed a vocal civilian prime minister to bring in someone who's from the military, questions are going to be asked as how much of a transition is this supposed to be, being that the new man is not a civilian. So he is well known in the military ranks, but it's a surprise that the military have taken this move to go for one of their own. So basically, it's a polarized political reactions now for his appointment as a new prime minister.
Ok, torej za zaključek nekako vojaška hunta, ki je prišla na oblast z drugim pučem v 12 mesecih, je predstavljala volitve toliko časa, da je še premier, ki je bil nastavljen strani hunte, začel kritizirati vodilne, torej lahko nekako iz vsega tega povzamemo, da konec tranzitnega obdobja, ki so se ga zamislili pri hunti, ni nič bliže.
Ok, se pravi, kaos v Maliju ostaja, kultivirala pa sva Tim in Živa.